Make your dream skin a reality with Starlight Retinol Night Oil from Strivectin, the science-powered, award-winning skincare brand. This ultra-nourishing, lightweight oil is fueled by retinol and patented skin barrier-strengthening Nia-114 to give the benefits of retinol without the common dryness and irritation. See improvement in the look of lines, wrinkles, rough texture, and dullness thanks to its potent yet gentle ingredients. Visit Strivectin.com and get 15% off your first order. That's Strivectin.com.
What people suffering from nasal breathing, snoring, and sleep apnea problems want is for their issues to be fixed. And at Advent, that is precisely what we do. Here, there are no Band-Aids, but there is a thorough approach to get to the root of your problem. And in tens of thousands of cases, finding simple solutions, which are undeniably effective, have made remarkably positive impacts on people's lives.
You can now experience Advent's expert medical care from the comfort and safety of your home with a virtual visit. A virtual visit with Advent is a convenient way to take your first step to breathing well, sleeping well, and living better. During your virtual visit, you'll chat one-on-one with a medical provider to help us get to the root of your problem, understand your goals, and to determine the right nasal breathing, snoring, or sleep apnea solution for you. Text the word ADVENT to 797979 to schedule a virtual visit today, because Advent knows when you breathe well, you live better.
While Chicago adjusts to working at home, the score is there for you.
Thank you guys so much for what you do. The score, I'm a loyal listener to these tough times. It's a relief to know I can turn you guys on my dial and have you be here.
We have the score to get us through this. Thanks for being out there. You guys are a breath of fresh air. The whole score team makes it a lot easier, and I applaud you for it.
We are Chicago's number one sports station, 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
Top of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Athletics. The Wildcats would like to thank all of those working throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, including grocery store employees, restaurant staffs, and delivery drivers. We appreciate you. Yeah, we do. And this hour is also being brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website at 56david.com. That's 56david.com. Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
I love hearing Jordan stories, because everyone has one. Even a guy like Steven, who didn't play long in the NBA, but he played long enough. I also appreciate him being super real about, yes, I was starstruck. That's Michael Jordan, and that's Clyde Drexler. And by that point, by the time that Steven came out and was playing ball, you know, in the 90s, those guys were those guys already. And then they bring you in and they go, hey, can you guard Jordan for 10 minutes? No, I can't, because he's Michael Jordan. And think about what you would be like if you were in that position. If you were in that position, even though you know that you were the man, wherever it is that you played, like, those are legends. I wonder, like, how long it takes for guys to get over that. Some guys, it feels like it doesn't matter. Like, remember Iverson rookie year? Like, it didn't matter. It didn't matter who was out there. It wouldn't have mattered if his mama was out there. She was going to get these 30 points.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, here with you until 2 o'clock today. We have a lot of stuff to get to. I'm on a real, like, sports history kick, so you are going to be the beneficiary of some of that stuff coming up on today's show. We're going to talk about the Bulls in just a minute. Kendall Gill is going to join me at 1 o'clock. I'm looking forward to talking with KG, especially after having that conversation with Stephen Bardo. At 1:25, our buddy Joe Ostrowski is going to join us for What You Watching, our new segment that we do where we call our friends and we ask them, what you watching? And then they give us recommendations, or we talk about things that we're all checking out in real time. I actually have one of my own today that I want to share with you, and we can talk about extensively, and it kind of deals with the sports history aspect of things. But there's a lot of buzz around the Bulls looking for a new leader of their franchise, so to speak. So I wanted to talk with our guy, Cody Westerlund, who covers the Bulls for us, does an incredible job on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. He joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from. Hey, Cody.
How you doing, Lawrence?
I'm doing all right. I'm glad that you had time. There's a lot of stuff that I want to ask you about this leadership search. Let me start here. In your opinion, what type of person do they need to fill their position of whatever we're calling it, president of basketball operations, GM, basketball czar? What do you think that person needs to be like?
They need to have a complete, comprehensive understanding of basically how every department in a basketball organization works nowadays, because the NBA has transformed in many ways. We know with the player empowerment era, with players hopping all over in free agency, we know how much health and priority of health for players is important with load management at times. So the old school version of you just draft guys and they play 82 games and kind of do what you say and you keep them for a long time and they hit free agency maybe once in their careers, maybe once in their prime. Like, that's long gone. Players are moving every year to new organizations sometimes. These star players are forcing trades. These guys want to play 60 games instead of all 82. And I think that's where the Bulls have kind of got behind in the John Paxson, Gar Foreman era, is a lot of this has changed in the last 10 years. And obviously we know the Derrick Rose story over 100 times. They've told it. But this is an organization that just needs every single operation, every single department to blend together better than they have in the past, and they need a lead executive who understands that from every aspect. So when you're just looking kind of at the background of what they need, that's what I would prioritize. And that's saying a lot, that's asking a lot, you know, just someone who understands everything, no big deal, of course.
Yeah, no big deal, and has connections, connected internationally, nationally, all of those things, not a big deal at all. You tweeted out after Chad Buchanan had withdrew his name from consideration, you were pretty upset. Why were you upset by that?
Well, I just thought that, well, I can view this through two ways. Either this is a bad look for the Bulls, because the Pacers' number two in command didn't even want to take an interview, which is a bad look, or it was just Chad Buchanan's agent trying to get him a pay raise and sneaking his name out there, and the Bulls having some interest in being like, yeah, this guy's a serious candidate. He probably deserves an interview, but then him really just rather stay in Indiana and get a pay raise, which is what happens when you get your name leaked out there but don't interview sometimes. So I don't know for sure which direction that was. Compared to the other candidates, I didn't think he was the best candidate for him. Like, I would chase Bobby Webster or Arturis Karnisovas, so the general manager of the Denver Nuggets, Webster, the general manager of the Toronto Raptors. Those are guys that, to me, have accomplished a little bit more at this point in their careers. Nothing against Chad Buchanan, but he's worked for the Trailblazers and Pacers primarily, which was teams that are solid teams that go to the playoffs, 4 or 5 seed, don't really go too deep into the season. So I think some of these other guys, maybe with a little bit more international connections, are the best. But, yeah, I don't know exactly what to make of the Buchanan situation, because it's odd that you would get your name leaked as final four candidates, guys the Bulls would desire to interview. And you have to remember at this point, this list that we've seen so far with these guys, which also includes the name Adam Simon, who's basically the number three in Miami, has been there 25 years. These are guys the Bulls want to interview, plan to ask permission for, but still need to get that granted by their team. So just because the Bulls want to talk to someone doesn't mean they will. But it was odd, the Buchanan situation, to me. Like, take the interview in Chicago. At least come over here and take it. You know what I mean? If not, maybe that's just where his heart desired. But the Bulls have a lot of work here to do this week.
Cody Westerlund joining me here on The Score. Bobby Webster is a name that a lot of people seem to have gravitated towards, yourself included. He's 35. He's a guy that has a lot of experience handling the cap. He's friends with Drake, if that means anything. He grew up a Bulls fan and a Cubs fan, if that means anything. What do you like about him?
Well, he's 35 years old, and he's probably more accomplished than most of these older candidates in many ways. And what I said off the top, just the comprehensive understanding of everything, his entire background speaks to that in many ways, what he's done. So he started off as an intern with the Orlando Magic kind of early to mid-2000s there. So he understands starting from the bottom, went to the NBA league office for 7 years, had a huge, huge driving force in the collective bargaining agreement that was signed in 2011. So he has a complete understanding of the salary cap details and how to build a team and how you can get creative and squeeze the most out of your money. He went to the Raptors in 2013, worked under Masai Ujiri, and he immediately went into kind of the scouting and player development focus in many ways, where he got his feet wet in that. So he understands different aspects. I think maybe what is most impressive on his resume, if he has one here, when you sit down and what you want to promote as your candidate yourself, is he spearheaded the trade of Kawhi Leonard to the Raptors, which doesn't mean he's the one that said, yes, we're doing this. But that was such a complicated trade because Kawhi and his representation were so worried about his health. And because you knew he'd probably only be in his new destination for 1 year, but they wanted a plan. Like, how are you going to use this guy? Like, can we trust these guys here, the new front office we're going to? And he really walked Kawhi Leonard's camp through that and acted as a point person. So I think that's very, very reflective of how he understands first the desire to get a star, what you need to trade to get them, risk taking. That one obviously worked out for the Raptors, but just kind of, the tender love and care you got to give these guys and show superstars. So for him to be able to do that and have it pay off, I think that's another example of kind of how he can connect to a star player who's a lot of people in the NBA have struggled to understand Kawhi Leonard just because he's very reserved and laid back and soft spoken. And the Raptors got him, and Bobby Webster was a big deal in that trade.
Cody Westerlund breaking things down as only he can do, joining me here on The Score as we talk about the Bulls as they look to change their leadership. But I have a lot of questions, Cody, about whether or not any candidate wants to walk in the door and know that at least John Paxson is probably still going to be involved in some way, and maybe Gar Foreman too. What are you hearing about what their role, if any, is going to be in a new administration?
Well, my understanding is Paxson's going to be in an advisor role, and I don't think he's going to have a lot of influence on any new candidate the Bulls get. And I think that because John, if you want to criticize him in these past years, he's made bad basketball decisions. I don't think the people element has been the problem for him. Like, everyone in the Bulls respects him well. He's still well respected across the league. And I do think he has an understanding. I mean, it was John that took a back seat to Gar and let Gar be the face of the Derrick Rose 2011 Bulls when they had their best success. Like, it wasn't John out there stumping to get attention and praise for that at that point. So I do think just past his past history that he understands he's okay with kind of being in the shadows and still being in the organization. Gar, the reporting where it's like, the new guy, he might keep Gar, they might keep him in a scouting role. Like, when you talk about organizational overhaul, if you are actually going to clean up your organization a little bit, like, that's a guy that's the new GM, the new president of basketball operations, whatever title he gets, he has to be able to get rid of Gar if he wants to. So I think that would be a sticking point for a new candidate in a way that John Paxson is not. Now, I don't think the Bulls are going to hold up any higher because they have to keep Gar in a scouting role. He's done fine as a scout, identifying guys like Jimmy Butler, obviously more misses there for a small stretch than the Bulls hoped, with kind of the Denzel Valentine era guys. But I don't think a new candidate is going to be held up too much by Pax. I don't think Pax has the desire to sit here and still run the show from behind the scenes. I don't think that's who he is. And Gar, I think the new guy, if the new guy wants Gar gone, he'll be gone. If the new guy wants Jim Boylan gone, he'll be gone. Turn the coaching staff over if they want. Like, that's the type of influence you have to give him. And I think the Bulls are finally willing to get to that spot. I think they understand.
You talk to a lot of people around the league. You're there covering. You're talking to folks throughout the season when there was a season. Do the Bulls still have a perception problem? Like, is this a great job still? And do you think people will flock to it being open?
The Bulls have a perception problem that's currently constructed because they're just not modern enough. They haven't changed with the times and understood that it is a player empowerment era. But the good part about that is it only takes one genius plugged in at the top of your front office to overhaul and change all this, because so much of it is the top-down leadership style and how everyone wants to go about this. So I think if they get the right front office executive in place, I don't think the player perception problem will be as big of a deal, because in a couple of years you can still have a somewhat promising young core, at least just with Kobe White, Wendell Carter Jr. These are guys that project to be solid NBA starters. And then starting in summer 2021, the Bulls cap sheet books are fairly clean, because the Otto Porter Jr. contract will be off the books. Chris Felicio contract will be off the books. A contract like Zach LaVine making $19 million a year, that's not a cumbersome, burdensome contract in that sense. So I do think that that's obviously been the Bulls' biggest problem. But again, everything changes so fast in the NBA. You have to remember that. Like, no one ever saw a Paul George, Kawhi Leonard union with the Clippers coming, and then all of a sudden you snap your fingers and it happens in like a day in free agency. So much in the NBA changes quickly. So you get the right person in charge there, the Bulls can turn around their perception fast. Because look, I don't think young players care that much about the Michael Jordan era and the history and the tradition. I do think that might be a little bit more of a draw for a front office executive who matters, but what players do care about is a good basketball team and you having money to give them, pay them at the rate they want, and then having smart executives and infrastructure in place in the organization that they can trust, whether it's the front office, the medical staff, or the coaching staff. And all of those components start with that new GM. So I think the Bulls are okay there if they hire the right guy. But obviously that has been a problem previously.
Cody, have you developed like a philosophy from what you've learned covering the team for the last few years on how you think is the best way to go about constructing a roster and finding a star?
Yeah, I think you need to go the free agency route. Like, you need to get that guy in there as the GM who understands everything. I think it's going to be really important, the coaching hire. Coaches matter a lot. You want a coach that players are attracted to. If that's a player-friendly coach, then plug in a player-friendly coach. The Bulls are at that weird stage where you need someone who's good at player development for guys like Wendell Carter Jr., Lowry Markkanen, Kobe White, but you also need someone that's player-friendly so you can get a big superstar free agent in summer 2021 or 2022, something like that. So I think the philosophy just has to be to get more modern, get someone who understands that, and go from there. And this isn't an organization as much as it seems stuck in the mud and in neutral for so many years now. It seems like 5 years probably. It can be a quicker turnaround, just the way things go in the NBA. But philosophy-wise, just, you know, go with the times, because do what's best for superstar free agents, because I think that route for the Bulls, they have some trade chips, they do. Kobe's promising, Wendell, Lowry still has – Lowry Markkanen still viewed as having good potential around the league. The Bulls are doing a terrible job of unlocking it now. They shouldn't sell low on him. But, like, if he rebounded, like, those are guys, you look at the Houston Rockets, Daryl Morey just kind of hoarded trade chips for years until he could get James Harden. So the trade route is still there. But to get a superstar, the Bulls haven't been drafted in the top three, so I don't think it's coming there. The trade market can be hard to pull off. So I think free agency route, getting a GM that understands that and that people are attracted to, and getting a coach in place, a GM that's going to make the tough decision there, the right decision to do that, to attract a star free agent, is important as well. So I guess that's what I've learned, or the route I would take in that regard.
On Friday, like I after the show, I took a nap and I was like, you know what? I was reading your stuff. I was reading KC. I was reading Darnell, all the people, Joe Cowley, like all the people that cover the Bulls. And for Loho Daily on Friday, I was talking about how I really think that it's smart that they're doing this now, that they are trying to figure out how to change their leadership in these moments right now. How do you think timing plays into their decision making, and does it matter that they're seemingly getting ahead of some of this?
The timing is working great for the Bulls, because you have to think right now. There's a couple coaching openings in the NBA with the Knicks and the Nets, for example, but there aren't a lot of front office searches going on right now. I mean, the Bulls are really the only one. Front offices don't have as much turnover as often as the coaching ranks, obviously, but there will be a few jobs that open up in the offseason. None of them will be as desirable as the Bulls, because I should say the Knicks already hired Leon Rose, so they did theirs already. That's out of the way. The Bulls are going to be the premier job now. That's open. The ones that open, like, we always hear about the dysfunction of the Sacramento Kings. Well, the Bulls should be far more attractive than a job like that. or other similar jobs that open up. So timing-wise, the Bulls are ahead of the game. Like, if they would have waited till April 16th to do this or something, there could be three or four teams doing it at the same time. But just the way it worked out with all the news leaking at All-Star Weekend, that basically marked the behind the